birds singing in the dead of night. Take these broken wings and learn to fly all your life. You were only waiting for this moment to arise. You were only waiting for this moment to arise. You were only waiting for this moment to arise.
I dropped the call by mistake. I was trying to get Patrick in on the call, and that went horribly wrong again.
I really like that right as Alan said, Misty, I cut you off, you actually physically cut me
I
off
actually
the line.
Clearly some sort of psychic tether.
You're ganging up on me.
Yeah. Patrick, are you here? Alan, are you here?
I'm back.
You guys missed it.
What?
There was a 2-second thing where it was just me and John. After he disconnected all of us and he called back, I was the only one that was able to reconnect. And John said, am I here? I'm like, I don't know. Are you here?
Sometimes we're not so sure.
Your reality
gets a little warped.
Am I here?
Who knows?
How am I not myself?
It's an open question.
Such a good question.
So Patrick, you're back. I feel like were you cut off a long time ago, or the call kept breaking up for you?
Yeah, it was breaking up and then it just dropped. When you were talking about that thing you were talking about.
The things we were saying
yes.
before that one
okay.
time before.
That gives a lot of insight.
Oh, so, something about Star Trek.
Oh.
You know what was stupid about fucking Star Trek? Was it that they got cold fusion all fucking wrong. Because they're a bunch of idiots, and no one knows enough about cold fusion to critique it. So they're like, oh, their science fiction is so good. And they don't even know what cold fusion is. It was embarrassing. So I have that
to
say.
Tell them.
So my nerd rage is at an all-time high. Basically, they use cold fusion to freeze a volcano. I'm like, oh, that's not really how it works. It produces heat. You would just make the volcano hotter.
I want to go see every movie ever made with you now. Just sit next to you. Ask your
but it has the word science. Cold in it, John.
I know, so it must be, right?
It's the opposite of a volcano. It'll totally work.
I just saw my brother this week.
Ice cancels out fire.
Yeah, I just saw my brother this week. He was complaining at the same thing. He's like, what's with this frozen hot chocolate?
Really? That exists?
That's a thing.
Yeah, it's both at the same time. What do you not get? It's awesome. Just accept it. Just let it happen.
Like, why can't they just put frozen chocolate?
Inside Optimus Prime. And...
What'd you say?
It's like being inside Optimus Prime and him being inside you at the same time.
Exactly. You just let it be. If you think about it, it throws off the equilibrium. It's so good.
Open up your heart and let the frozen hot chocolate in.
That's all I'm asking. That's all I'm asking.
I feel like that's the only chance consumer culture has now is to go into a wave particle paradigm where everything, they're like, how do we reinvent this piece of shit commodity? Oh, let's make it this and that. It's peanut butter and jam in the same jar.
Hey, wait. Don't say it's a piece of shit. I like hot chocolate. If that means.
I like peanut butter and jelly.
If that means we're consumer whores, you know, just because we like hot chocolate and peanut butter and stuff like that, come on.
I'm being pretty harsh.
You're being pretty harsh.
You're being so harsh right now.
What are we allowed to eat, John? We have to eat Twix and... Oh, here's some bark to chew on. Yeah, that'll really
it's
show
the
man.
It's both the tree and not the tree.
Yeah, I know. We're all whores. Yeah. It's fine. I'm willing to accept that reality.
I'm the prettiest one.
Yeah, you're the best, like, sure.
Out of the four of us.
You know, so be it. That's fine. So I'll stop.
I take it back. Stuff. Alan is very pretty. I take it back.
Come on, Patrick's.
I shouldn't have just stole that crown for myself.
Well, Alan is the swarthiest. Misty is the best looking. Patrick is probably the smartest. And I'm probably just the most enlightened, no big deal.
You can be our guru, John.
You're the most Superman.
Yeah, I'm just like the guru. It's whatever.
You're the whore guru.
Yes.
Is that
what
that
sounds like? A fucking
whore.
Awesome job.
Isn't that a pimp? Like... Wouldn't I have to learn how to keep people in line? I don't know how to
That's
keep
Patrick.
Anyone in line. Oh, Patrick would be my enforcer. How would Patrick enforce my will? Would he like brandish a gun? Would he have a knife? What would he be his like weapon?
He'd have a feather in his cap, obviously.
Well, yeah, but how does he threaten people?
Like, yeah, I was thinking MK mind control.
Subtle.
I like Misty's plan better. I want.
Thank you, Alan. See, this is why Alan's the prettiest.
Threaten someone with a feather. That because that actually can make him kind of scary. If someone's threatening you with a feather. Like... It's either going to be completely laughable or they're that scary that you're like, I don't even want him to.
Show me what he's really capable
yeah.
of.
Right. It's like, what are you going to do with that feather, motherfucker? That would totally psych me out.
Misty, don't make me bust out my feather.
Don't make me take it down from my hat.
Misty, how many women in the burlesque community use gigantic, like, feather?
Lots.
Okay, is that that's still a thing, right?
It is, yes. Feathers are still things. Oh, I have a bird story.
Go for it.
Okay, so the last full moon was trippy as fuck. So I had this really awesome dream, and then I was sitting at breakfast. And it's weird when you guys all mute at the same time. There's like, no, I feel like I'm talking to myself.
You're not.
So I'm sitting eating breakfast and I hear this like scratching on the inside of my chimney. And like, usually I always hear seagulls land at the top of the chimney and it kind of like clangs and echoes down. But this was like, I tell it like right on the other side of the bricks. And so... I go over because usually the vent is left open, but I must have like closed it last time I went away for a prolonged period of time. And so I go over and I'm like looking up the chimney and I don't see anything. And then I'm like tapping on it and the bird is like tapping back. Well, I didn't know it was a bird at the time, but it was like tapping back and getting all like frustrated and scared. And I'm like, chill out, bird. I got your back. Don't worry. So I was home alone, by the way. This is like a terrifying experience to have a bird in my chimney. And so I like opened the vent and it fell down into the fucking fireplace. And like, we sat there for a moment. We chilled out together. We had a little dialogue. And then I basically explained to the bird that I wanted to just like fly out without fucking up any of my shit. I was like, look, bird, we're both freaked out. Like, I sat here and like done a little like meditation with you for 10 minutes. I feel like we're on the same wavelength. We have a serious conversation right now. So I'm going to open my porch door really, really wide. All the other doors in this place are closed. There's nowhere for you to go. Don't fly around, knock over my shit, and poo on everything. Just fly right out the door. We'll both be happy. Cool? And the bird was like, it didn't really say anything, but it just kind of like moved its head and like twinkled its eye. And I'm like, all right. So then I opened the fucking iron curtain, and the goddamn bird sat there for like a second and was like, I got it. And just like flew right out the door. And I was like, this was such an awesome moment for me and the bird. I accurately communicated my wants and needs to this animal, and it did what I wanted. It was awesome.
That's super impressive. Cause that never
I know. Yeah. And it was like a blackbird, because either it was a bird that wasn't black and covered in soot, or it was a blackbird. Either way, I was happy. I liked it. Cool.
I want to ask two clarifying
And then I finished
questions.
Eating my breakfast and I was all like nervous because that like, you know, it was a highly exciting moment for me. And as I'm sitting there finishing my breakfast, like three other blackbirds come and like sit in the tree, like right outside and just watch me finish eating my breakfast. I was like, all right, we're officially cool. Like, you don't know me anything. I don't know you anything. Let's be friends.
So you said you.
I've had bad words with seagulls before, so I feel like this healed those wounds between me and my avian friends.
You use the expression "iron curtain."
Yeah. Oh, well, because it looks like a little iron curtain. You know, the little the fireplace curtains?
Oh, okay. Yes. 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 Okay. I do understand. Yeah. You're like the bird was tapping. I was tapping back. I was thinking back to John's Morse code thing. And
right.
then you're like, and then I, so you're sending each other tap signals across the iron curtain.
Yes. That's totally
tap
what
dance
happened.
Signals.
It was like a fishnetty, you know, the fishnetty iron curtains. They're just a screen so the motherfucking embers don't jump out and burn you.
Fire is this like elemental transformative force, and you bumped
what's
into birds
fire?
Where? Right. What's Were you chased by birds in Europe?
I was not chased
was
by a bird. I was stuck by a seagull. There's a big
okay.
difference.
True. Being chased would be
on the
more
beach,
of a.
And I was eating popcorn,
experience.
And there was a seagull and like his buddy. And they totally wanted my popcorn, and I was like, no, I'm not giving you any. It's, like, my only snack. I'm clearly going to be stuck in this beach for, like, 5 or 6 hours. I'm not sharing. And plus, they just looked really greedy. Like, that would...
Seagulls
right?
have that
like,
luck.
I knew
sometimes
that wouldn't be the end of it.
Up.
I was like, fuck this shit. So I finished eating and then tucked my bag away, like, my bag of popcorn away in my other bag. And I fell asleep. And then the fucking seagull... I woke up to like this sharp pain in my foot, and the fucking seagull had bit my toe and tried to eat me, and like had so much, it had iron balls because it didn't even budge. Like I sat straight up and looked right at it, and it just like it didn't even step back at all. It was just looking at me like, that's right, bitch.
It just knew.
You didn't give me any of your popcorn. I bit your toe. Like, what are you gonna do about it now? So we had a staring contest, and I don't know. It was bad. It got messy.
So you
have
a bad relationship with the white birds, but you had a cool relationship with the black birds. I see how it is.
Well, it was a seagull, so it's white and gray.
Oh, okay, like Gandalf.
Exactly. But birds aren't nearly as smart as Gandalf. Or maybe they are, I don't know.
Actually, aren't
crows the smartest?
Oh, you
know what? That's
man.
Actually really fucking funny. What's that show... What's the movie where the seagull has, like, the constant lack of memory?
Little Mermaid? Little Mermaid?
Is it? I failed Disney 101. Yes. In the Little Mermaid, the seagull. And then you said, like, Gandalf. And the last time I watched Lord of the Rings, I was totally on to Gandalf's Steve. Like, he just loses time. Or makes time. That's all being a wizard is.
Doesn't a wizard always arrive on time or something? Isn't that part of it? He arrives when he's
like,
supposed to.
Like literally on time, like numbers floating. Like he arrives in a cloud of numbers floating.
Oh, he rides time. He's a time rider.
He's riding the time.
Well, I've ridden my time to the end here, folks. I hope you all continue on without me and enjoy your evening. I've got to go. This has been a real.
Okay,
it's been really cool to kind of chat and play with you guys, though.
Super fun to talk to you again, Alan.
Patrick,
I'm
I know you're there somewhere.
Photo.
Please do, yeah. Patrick, I know you're there somewhere hiding in the corner, but.
Yeah, stop hiding in the corner.
Good night, guys. Talk to you soon.
Good night.
Bye.
Night.
Good night, Alan.
Yeah. All right, yeah.
Hey.
So we can keep going for a little while longer if you would like to. It's almost 2 o'clock here, so I'm getting a little tired, but I can manage a bit longer. But it's up to you, too.
I could come or I could go. Well,
I do appreciate your nonchalance. Patrick, are you as cavalier?
I'm really excited to stay and talk to you longer.
Of course.
Yeah, Misty and I are on the West Coast. We got it made. It's only like
it's
11
only
over here.
It's 10. Is it 11 where you are already? It's only 10:52 where I am.
Yeah, it's just, there's a 7-minute difference.
Same for both, right?
Nice.
Okay, does Portland or Portlandia, is she from any hierarchy of gods? I couldn't find her origin. It just seemed kind of random. Statue. They pulled her out of thin air.
You're talking about the TV show for a second.
No, sorry. But the statue, did they craft this show, Fred Armisen, out of clay? And
that's why I was
making
confused.
This comic genius. But I know it. Neither of you would necessarily know, but I just found that interesting that she just seemed to appear, and she seems like a Venus character or something, but I couldn't be sure or what her origin story was, if there even is one. It might just be some invention of some mason.
I have no idea. That sounds like a Google question.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
It is, but it's not unfounded that I ask it, considering you live there and you've been there.
I was born there.
And I've never. Yeah, so I'll look into it. You guys can talk Transformers or something.
Patrick, did you watch those? Have you seen Transformers Prime?
Not before, but I watched the one with Bumblebee.
Did you watch all of the episodes I sent to you?
No, just the first one.
I'm highly disappointed. You need to watch all of them. They're so good. Seriously, it's amazing.
Well, what was most relevant for you? What did you pull from it that
I
struck
just
a chord?
How awesome it was. At the end of the, like, the story writing is way better. There's way more like beelines and consistency, and like, yeah, I don't know, it's good. And at the end there's this whole thing with like the Omega Lock and like the Omega Keys, and all these relics get unearthed, and it just gets really, really good. It gets really good really fast, and then it ends.
What kind of relics? Are they like magician's weapons?
There's a hammer and Optimus's sword, Justice. And yeah, and then they find like 3 or 4 keys, or they find like 3 relic keys that look like boomerangs. And and then find out that there's supposed to be some like Omega Lock that like the keys all unlock, and I think it ends up being like the permanent space bridge to Cybertron or something. And Megatron, they kill Megatron, but of course he's probably not dead for good.
He can
Bumblebee kills Megatron. Yeah.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
Humble Bumblebee.
He totally does.
He pulls it off. But okay. Is that one CG or is it animated?
I think it's CG. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It is CG.
So it's a little weird to watch and like get into in that sense, but the storytelling is really, really good. Like, I feel like it's just stronger.
It's insanely Gnostic. It's incredibly Gnostic. I do wonder, okay, so the guy that did the voice, isn't he like Inner City or something crazy like that?
Thank you so much for reminding me of that. Yeah, Optimus Prime's voice lives here in Vancouver or somewhere. Which I didn't know until after I posted that photo of me and Optimus together. And then like one of my friends was like, I worked in the studio with the guy who's the voice of Optimus Prime. Did you know he lives here? And I was like, no. But that's the raddest thing ever. I know, I could go stalk that guy. I would make him my best friend and just like, I don't know, make him say things all the time. Like, I would just write my responses to people and stand behind him. No, he can stand behind me. It'd be a totally, like, Milli Vanilli situation. I'll be
you
out
need
front
to get that photo done.
And just, like, I'll write the words so he'll say them, and then I will mock say them over his voice to people.
You're really asking a lot for a first meeting. Maybe you should just like get the photo from him, make him your friend.
I'm very demanding.
Then on like the second date, just be like, hey dude, hover over me.
I didn't say
read the
over,
script,
I said
and,
behind.
Just hang on.
It would be really fucking rad if he could hover
behind,
over
okay,
me, and I would totally
still
make him do it if I found out that he could.
It would. I feel confident you could at least meet this
okay,
person.
Okay, I'm gonna make it like an actual intention. I have to actually study what he looks like.
Hey, whatever.
Not just the sound of his voice. Or I could like hyper tune my ears, maybe just to like selectively pick out his vibes, and then just navigate towards him.
You could just find him. Dude's probably on Facebook like every other human being.
No way! My way of finding him is chances are he's yours. Again, you're coming with the boring.
Yours is like all fucking. It's all like CIA and shit. It's like, oh, I gotta collect every piece of data on this human being to find out where they are and who they are. I gotta know what they look like. No. You don't. But I will help you. I can be your private investigator. Even though it would just be me looking on Facebook. That'd be the extent of it. So, Patrick, do you have any new Beatles stuff, or are you looking into anything specifically, or is anything caught your interest lately?
Yeah, Patrick, because
you always
going on
you have
in your
such
right
interesting
now.
Things to say. You,
same thing.
Or in your
I
mind.
I just saw Transcendence. Have you guys seen that?
No, I haven't. How is it?
It's a good movie. It didn't get very good reviews, but I thought it was really good. But the thing about it is, it's so completely overtly thelemic. It's crazy. First of all,
I just rewatched Pulp Fiction and thought the same thing.
Yeah. Well, in Transcendence, Johnny Depp's name is Will to begin with, and that's like kind of a coincidence. But then when you get into the movie and you're well, he's an AI researcher, and unbeknownst to anybody, he had downloaded his consciousness onto a computer he created, and he dies, and his wife finds this download that he did. And decides to like activate it, and then he's kind of like reborn as an AI entity, and
Whoa.
He kind of becomes a tyrant, like you were saying, John. Like, like he had good intentions, but he was doing the wrong thing, you know, with it.
Girlfriend.
Like he kind of had the intelligence of a child because he didn't understand like. He had lost his humanity, sort of. He had like all the knowledge in the world, but he kind of didn't know what to do with it. He was kind of doing the wrong things. He was like everyone had to keep telling him that he was doing more harm than good, and he kind of didn't understand. Because his wife wanted to change the world, and he just wanted to understand the world. So he thought he was doing the right thing by making all these changes, and so basically he was like. Changing the whole world, like all the molecules of the world, and like trying to make everything better, like through the power of his will. He was like manipulating nature in accordance with his will, and his name was Will. Yeah, I thought that was really overt. And then you get into the whole AI stuff and like the stuff that Kubrick was getting into before he died. And yeah, and Morgan Freeman was, in it, of course, and he's always kind of that god character.
Yeah.
I was just wondering if you guys had seen it. It's highly recommended for stinkheads.
I haven't seen it, but it's been on my radar, though, because I think about artificial intelligence now and then, and it's an interesting thing to ponder. And it's been in pop culture more recently. Like, they did this movie. There's a new one that I think has, like, fucking... Deant word in it, or I think I could be wrong.
Yeah,
something like that. It's in South Africa, so
I think
they had some
like,
hand in
it
or guest. Okay, it wouldn't surprise me. And I think they're chaos magicians, technically speaking, or whatever, you know. However, that's such a loose word, but at least they're into that sort of shit. Then there's this other one coming out called like. Ex Machina or something, or Dwa Ex Machina, and I think that one looks especially kind of twisted and fucked up, of them looking really kind of half robot, really angelic, but are also murderous. So I don't know. There's this sort of, I don't know what to make of it. I don't know if it's useful, if it actually has something to spark a discussion with, or it's just kind of like promoting an agenda. I haven't quite figured it out.
That's a good guess.
Both.
That's a
maybe.
Good guess.
And I wish that, like, in Willy Wonka, they just speaking of death again, or, like, going into this weird sort of underworld, mm-hmm. There's that crazy tunnel scene in Willy Wonka, the drugged out one, where they're showing them all their worst fears and stuff.
I think it was like an abbreviated version or something. Or maybe they changed the lyrics. Well, isn't it a Roald Dahl poem that they're reciting? Yeah, well, they're reciting. That's what Wonka's reciting when he's rowing them down the river.
Right.
Down the stream.
No, I didn't know that. Okay, that's funny. So that's those initials add up to 22, and 2-2 is a poker hand, which is ducks, and those are floating down the river. Or so they could be like, I don't know, lame ducks in this twisted, fucked
rubber
up
duckies
psychedelic
in the
tunnel
hell.
They're going through, and none of them can handle it. And he's laughing because he's probably been through it. He's totally like a shaman and just like shaman trickster. He's laughing at all of these like normals
able to handle
this like weird experience. Yeah, it's like, how is he getting all the satisfaction out of it? Because
he's Wonka. He's totally oblivious.
Yeah, just because it can't hurt you. It's just like, it's all projections. It's like this archetypal, like, hey, look at this stuff. It can't really hurt you. But, and I don't know where I was going with that, but
it's really good movie.
I love that fucking movie.
It has candy in it.
Yeah, of course. I remember the fat German kid drowning in the chocolate. Getting sucked out the tube.
With canals like, lately, John.
Speaking
can
of
you
tubes,
tell me why?
More tubes. I bet that movie's got tons of tubes. Oh, and then there's the bubble chamber.
Where
that
they have to burp
full of fucking
to go
tubes.
Down.
They're all floating in the bubbles.
I'm a fan.
Yeah, or else they'll get chewed up in the giant
goddamn
blender. That's so fucking weird. I have to like start analyzing this movie in a transpersonal psychology way. But I don't know enough transpersonal psychology, so it would just be this kind of, like, half-ass pop.
What? Okay, attempt. It sounds like you have to become an expert in another
thing. I'm reading this book, so I'm going to read that, and then I'm going to claim to be an expert. Because it seems pretty... It's dense. It's got a lot going for it, so... I'll pretend like I've read more than I have.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
No one will know.
But Patrick, anything else that you've seen that's caught your attention? Because that's interesting, and thank you for bringing that into the discussion, because I'd forgotten about that.
Let me think.
Oh, did you like the first episode I told you to watch? Was it the one where, is that what happened? Because I haven't like gone and rewatched them, but I just remember like I took note of those particular episodes.
Yeah.
To go back and rewatch them. So is the deal that, wasn't there like something, there was like an epic battle between Optimus and Megatron and part of Optimus's consciousness or something got stuck in Megatron, and so they had to like create a psychic space bridge or something. Somehow Bumblebee got involved.
I think that was might be the other one you sent me.
Oh, okay. What happened again?
It was mostly just about Bumblebee and I think Megatron had some sort of mind control over him.
Right.
I watched
because
it
had to create They had to create like a psychic space
bridge
sort, and so he couldn't get him out of his head completely.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that was cool.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
And then B kills him at the end, so he finally gets him out. That's really cute. And then they all go back to Cybertron, and nobody dies except for Megatron. It's really great.
Did they ever say what built the quintessence, or the quintessence like the ultimate primordial atom? Nothing transcends them, or are they part of a larger system?
No, I don't know. They just like they're just at the beginning of that portion of the tale.
Uh-huh.
Like they create everything for their own amusement.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, creating ego just to play.
Or to think of like, yeah, and what I'm reading, he is relating to LSD experience, and he says the idea dawns on him that the concept of a god or whatever process created the universe might actually have a flaw in it and creates like beautiful things but also flawed things. He's like, that was a revelation to me. And I guess maybe shouldn't be, but when we think of this idea of this life force or whatever running through the universe, or this consciousness thread running through the universe, there's always the question of, oh, should it be really good or really bad, and why is it ignoring people, or why is it not doing this or that? And that we're projecting our humanness onto something.
I was just gonna
unknowable.
Say, you can't judge from the peanut gallery. Like, what the fuck? Like,
people don't even appreciate the filter. I mean, we acknowledge that there's filters on our minds, but then we pretend like, oh no, we can judge this and put it in the dustbin or
it's
something.
It's a filter bias.
Yeah, it's really interesting. And then in reading a bit of, well, listening to some Robert Anton Wilson again, reviewing some stuff, he's talking about imprinting again, and that this is getting me refocused on that idea. And again, lost my train of consciousness there, but or train of thought, but
I like losing your train of consciousness better. It's a crazier train. It's a much crazier train to lose.
So, something about Wilson. He's awesome. How about that? He's a cool guy. I really like him.
Super cool.
Yeah. That's some sophisticated radio conversation for you.
All right. I'm just getting stupid and giggly. More so than usual.
But, okay. Oh, this is what I wanted to ask. At the end of Pulp Fiction, what is in the fucking briefcase? It's gold. So is it just like the eye and the triangle, like transcendence? They somehow, through all their...
The
this
light?
Adventure, they discover...
The light in the briefcase?
Yeah, what is that?
I thought it was supposed to be Marcellus Wallace's consciousness or some shit. Hmm.
Did you know the briefcase lock was... The number code was 666?
No way!
Yeah.
Perfect. Oh, okay. Oh, John, I told you this. So, I'm selling my place right now, and I'm looking at at new places to buy. And I went to see this listing today that I like completely fell in love with. It's like a renovated church synagogue, actually, technically, that was built in 1911. The street address is 700. The suite number is 305, and it's exactly 666 square feet. It's so rad. And there's like these beautiful stone floors that have like diamond cut inlays in them. I'm like, I want to live here, please. It's so beautiful.
And was there some painting or something or some drawing?
Oh, the very first piece of artwork, like right inside the, I mean, like obviously the tenants would be moving all their shit out, but like just when I opened the door, the very first thing I saw was this black and white like etching, and it was called Apocalypse. I was like, that's pretty fucking perfect. Like right over the threshold. Like right over the threshold.
Yeah, that's crazy.
It was pretty good.
And I wonder if Never Ending Story is just retelling the Old Testament or the New Testament. What the fuck was the Apocalypse? Was that Old Testament or New? I think it was Old, because New was supposed to be happy-go-lucky, and Jesus loves everyone. The Old Testament
does love everyone.
Fuck you.
It's how it all ends. It's the last, it's the last chapter.
It's the...
That's the last of you.
John, Apocalypse. Do you know what it means? Is the end of the beginning is the end? The beginning is the end.
Doesn't mean end? Is that a...
No,
I thought that was always the
misunderstanding
that it wasn't.
A veil lifted, yeah. But then we get back to our, well, okay, we should call it a veil bias instead of a filter bias. I like that. It's more romantic.
Yeah, you can like seductively take
exactly.
it off.
Exactly.
You know?
It's all about the tease. It's all about the tease and the wink. You get, just like whip it off. Like there has to be like a process, like a slow moving process.
Reality is doing a strip tease right now.
Yes, it totally is. Sorry guys, I made that happen.
Reality can be whatever we want.
I'm
it to
dressing
be. In this
the
case,
apocalypse
be a stripper. I really like the idea that these mythological figures on horses, like they're on horses or they're on being carried because they're like charged with something, or
they're charged with the need to be on top of another animal.
Just like, and it's like the exactly. Scarlet Woman and the Beast. I mean, there's got to be something going on there with that premise. And then even like a spark, right? Isn't the all spark, does Optimus
we
or,
all come from the all spark.
Does he have the all spark? We all come from it, but isn't there one storyline where it's like in peril or something. Everything. Isn't it always in peril?
Yeah,
isn't
that the big thing?
Everything's on the edge, a nice edge of tumbling into
it's all
nothingness.
About the balance. I said that earlier. You gotta ride that equilibrium.
Yeah, yeah.
What are we talking about?
I don't even know. I think I'm getting into body energy or something. I think Wilhelm Reich makes an appearance once every other show, or at least once every show. So I feel like I have to bring him in for once because David's not here,
David.
And he
David's
would definitely bring up Wilhelm
when
Reich.
I'm here.
I know that's a real bummer. He's gonna be pissed, but he'll get over it, and he'll be on the next one, and you can come back on, both of you, obviously, whenever you want. We'll always make room.
Yes,
we'll have a 7-way conversation next time, if need be. Everyone just fighting and flying for any spare space they can manage.
Your
2 minutes, a lot of time.
The longest time lapse ever.
Yeah. Patrick, there's some moment in the Jupiter room where a glass disappears or something.
It
right?
switches places on the table, and then Bowman knocks it off the table.
So it's there, but it's not there, and then it's there again. Well, it's just in a different position, and then that makes him make a mistake. What's the lesson there? I guess, what do you think?
There's a lot of
switch perspectives.
Yeah. There's a few different ways to look at that. I believe Matt Pulver, I believe his take on it is, I think he's the one that pointed out that it falls in the same place. Okay, the floor of the Jupiter room, it's 64 squares, like a chessboard. And it falls in the same square where Hal lies to Frank Poole about the chess move. So there's an interpretation that Bowman's like being, he's like, it's like a false flag, you know, like Matt Pulver's whole thing. Like he's being filmed in this studio, but he doesn't realize it's the studio. Because when Hal lies to Frank during that chess game, he says, "I think you missed something, Frank." And Bowman, he misses that the glass got moved, so he accidentally knocks it over. And that's when he looks down and sees his older self laying in the bed right before his transformation. That's the one interpretation I could probably spout off the most accurately off the top of my head. The other ones I probably have to look up again.
But they're probably not true.
You never know.
I'm just saying, the one that sticks in your head easiest is probably the one that's more
it's
right.
True and false at the same time.
Exactly. When false flags are true.
Okay, so Hal says, "You missed something." And then he misses something and sees himself old and dying. And there's some sort of, I don't know, maybe there's a set recollection of death. It's like, oh, I missed the whole thing, which was I'm actually a moon child. Mm-hmm. I'm actually like meant to be reborn, or I am this reborn thing. So I'm larger than I realized. And then he tries to touch. Is touching the monolith after that?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, of course, like that leads into the Moonchild scene, and that is all about transcendence and pretty obvious. But there was even a Crowley book or poem called Moonchild that has some sort of resonance with that moment. So I don't know if that's a nod to Crowley, or that, again, that's just like an obvious sort of archetypal thing that Kubrick knew about. I don't know now, knowing that Moonchild was something he wrote.
Mm-hmm.
That's weird.
Yeah, I don't know how.
Or maybe not weird. Maybe it's weird to everyone but us.
Yeah, I'm not sure how much Kubrick is into Crowley or not, but I know he hung out with pretty much everyone in England in the mid 1900s, like artists and musicians and filmmakers and just all the weirdos from around there. So I'm sure he heard people talking about Crowley at some point.
Or it was just like an artist, like a hive mind, artistic consciousness leap.
Right.
Totally.
Yeah. Totally
they all got on. They all synchronized their flows at the same time. Bring it back to menstruation. What? Like 11:18 coming with the menstruation.
I already opened that like doorway, so it's okay if you want to go through it. Whatever.
Right. Oh, wait a second. I just remembered who it was that pointed that out. It wasn't Matt Pulver. It was It was Julie Kearns. Got a shout out to Julie Kearns.
All the props.
Yeah, she doesn't get enough mention in the sync community, but she's got an extraordinary blog.
What's that called?
Idol Opus.
Nice. Okay. I'll look it up.
I've tried to get Doug and Will to get her on 42 Minutes, but I guess she doesn't reply to their emails. But I guess that happens.
Yeah, that happens time to time. It's like someone that has really good opinions or ideas, and they're just impossible to get a hold of. So it's a little frustrating, but who knows? Maybe Sync will deliver
her. Oh, she's on
a someone show.
She's in room 237 briefly.
Hmm, okay.
She's the one that laid out the maps of The Shining. She's the one that laid out the maps of the...
yeah, I was impressed by that.
Yeah.
I have all kinds of abstract, unprovable ideas about what's going on with those floor plans and how they mirror, like, physiological processes unfolding in the brain. And it makes... probably has no grounding in reality, but I like to think that it does. Just because if artists have always predicted what science finds out later... sometimes it's, like, worth guessing and having fun with, but...
And isn't that the point of The Shining?
Yes, I know, that's the thing. It's, like, chain... those kinds of, yeah, right, leaps of faith and just random descents into madness. You kind of have to do that to... that's what art, like, the best art is in a lot of ways, so...
Shine on.
Makes sense. Yeah, shine on. All you stars... and other,
other and rainbows in the dark.
Yeah, whatever animorph you choose to identify with. Oh, that's something else. That's another rabbit hole I gotta go down. Animorphs, but we'll save that.
We
for
can talk about Beast Wars then.
Beast Wars. I have to rewatch it before I say that I have like a real opinion on it again. I mean, obviously it's amazing, and it was kind of my religion as a kid, but. I still have to re-see it, or excuse me, rewatch it.
You need to re-see it. I don't know. I was
is that correct?
I don't know. Yes, that is correct.
Whether it is or it isn't. So, Misty and Patrick, thank you for joining us today on the show.
Yeah, thanks for calling.
Yeah, it was kind of last minute for both of you. So thanks for making time, and
no problem.
Yeah, it was fun.
Thank you for listening to this broadcast from Sync Book Radio. If you enjoyed this episode, there's so much more content waiting for you at thesyncbook.com. Tune into our other Sync Book Radio programs, 42 Minutes, Always Record, Marty Leeds, Synchronize, Pentimental, and Sync Quick News. Our newest episodes are always free, and members get access to our full archive of over 600 hours. You'll find all of these, as well as our books and videos at thesyncbook.com.